Father in heaven, we pray that you will be with us this morning. May the words from my lips be ones that reflect what you have as a message for us. May we each one take it in. May we all learn lessons that will help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today for our study, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. In this chapter, Jesus tells us many parables, in fact, and most of them are to do with sowing seed, growing crops, and harvesting. I think most of us here have an interest in growing plants. We may not be farmers, but we may be interested in gardening and growing things, and so we can probably relate well to the lessons that are taught in this chapter. As we study today, we'll find that there are many lessons. In fact, there's too much in this chapter for just one sermon. So we'll have to continue the rest of it some other time. Before we begin reading the parable of the sower, it's helpful to note that here in this chapter, Jesus tells the disciples why he speaks in parables. And that's not just accidental that it happens to be in this chapter, because the parable of the sower is Jesus preaching about preaching. He's telling people about his message, and so here he explains why he speaks in parables. We will find that when he started out in his ministry, he just gave the message in plain language, just talking straight. But he changed his methods to parables when he found that he just wasn't getting through. And this is already the first lesson we can learn. It's that if we find that one method is not working, then we should change. We shouldn't give up on the person. We should try another route to get through to him or her. Here we read, in the earlier part of his ministry, Christ had spoken to the people in words so plain that all his hearers might have grasped truths which would make them wise unto salvation. But in many hearts, the truth had not taken root, and it had been quickly caught away. And so Jesus says in Matthew 13, if you're looking at the chapter, read verse 13. Here he says, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed.'" You see, parables reveal truth to those willing to receive it, but at times it actually conceals it. Jesus is telling parables because when you listen to them, you have to think, what is he saying? It isn't just something that goes through you and you can take it in without thought. In fact, Jesus said this in verse 11 to the disciples. Matthew 13:11, He said to them, "To you it has been given, or to you it is granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." So what's Jesus saying here? Is he saying that he refused to grant the message to these Jews? Or was it just the chosen disciples? They're the ones he grants the message of the kingdom of heaven. He grants them the privilege. Let's turn for a minute to John chapter 7 and verse 17. Does Jesus withhold truth from people and only give it to certain people? John 7 and verse 17. It says, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine." In other words, it's not so much that the people can't understand, it's whether they are willing to receive the word. I'll just read to you from Desire of Ages. Talking about Jesus, he said he passed by the wise men of his time because they were so self-confident that they could not become co-laborers with the man of Nazareth. They scorned to be taught by Christ. The first thing to be learned by all who would become workers together with God is the lesson of self-distrust. Then they are prepared to have imparted to them the character of Christ. Jesus came into this world to bear witness to the truth. But we find many refuse to listen. And as we've just read, those who want to be workers with God need to learn the lesson of self-distrust. People like the Jews, who think they know all the truth, are the very ones who won't receive a message. We must not scorn to be taught by Christ. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus said this so often because people didn't really listen and take in what he said. Do you think Jesus was angry with people who scorned him? I think he was just sad that they had cut themselves off from the blessing that he had for them. And that's what our attitude should be, really. And so let's start with this parable of the sower. It's quite a short one. Start from Matthew 13 and starting verse 3. "And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So that's the parable of the sower. It doesn't sound like much. And of course, Jesus does give the explanation in verses 18 to 23. But we'll go into that a bit later on. Jesus doesn't actually say so in this passage. But the parable of the sower is actually about the kingdom of heaven. We can read here. the gospel of Christ was a stumbling block to the people who heard. They expected the Messiah to prove his claims by mighty deeds of conquest, to establish his empire on the ruins of earthly kingdoms. This expectation Christ answered in the parable of the sower. Not by force of arms, not by violent interventions was the kingdom of God to prevail, but by implanting a new principle in their hearts. The Jewish people expected Jesus to come and sit on the throne of David and subdue all nations to the Jews. But in fact, he came to subdue the hearts of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The parable of the sower could better be called the parable of the soils, the different soils, because what is it talking about? It's talking about how the seed took root, how the seed grew in the various different soils. Who is represented by the soils? Different classes of hearers. That's right. By this parable, Christ was virtually saying to his hearers, "It is not safe for you to stand and be critics of my work, or to indulge disappointment because it doesn't meet your ideas. The question of greatest importance for you is, how do you treat my message? Upon your reception or rejection of it, your eternal destiny depends." In other words, what type of soil are you? And Jesus is here giving us the explanation. So let's look in verse 19 for Jesus' explanation. And we start off with the seed that fell along the path or by the wayside. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and this is verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. The hearers that are caught away by the wicked one, they're not caught away just unaware. Satan can catch no one except by their own consent. And so those who receive the seed by the wayside are people who don't want to hear or who are uninterested in the message. They have no desire to hear about a God who might interfere in their lives. The seed sown by the wayside represents the word of God falling on the heart of an inattentive hearer. They're absorbed in selfish aims and sinful indulgences. The soul is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. They do not discern that this message applies to themselves. And it talks about the Pharisees. Pharisees perceive the meaning of Christ's parable, but to them its lesson was unwelcome. And so they pretended not to understand it. Well, we might think, all right, well, that's people who are not interested in the gospel. So it doesn't apply to us. But just read on. And here we are told, Satan has many helpers. Many who profess to be Christians are aiding the tempter to catch away the seeds of truth from their hearts. Many who listen to the preaching of the word of God make it the subject of criticism at home. They sit in judgment on the sermon as they would on the words of a lecturer or political speaker. And so we are in danger of being seed, the soil by the wayside. And we need to just look at an example, a good example, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Some of you will recognize that this verse, Acts 17:11, describes the Bereans. And it said that these Jews in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They were not more noble than the Thessalonians, who hardened their hearts against Paul. The heart that is hardened won't listen to the Holy Spirit. It won't hear the Son of God knocking at the heart's door, which immediately makes you think, well, we are describing the Laodiceans here. Closing the door to the Holy Spirit is called the unpardonable sin. Not because God is unwilling to pardon, but because the hard-hearted one doesn't even recognize his or her sin. It's just like a smoke alarm goes off in the house, but the owner ignores it. And so he suffers a huge loss. So Jesus' message here is to pay heed to his messengers. Let's go on back to Matthew 13. And we're reading about the next type of soil in verse 20 and 21. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The seed that is sown on stony ground just has very little depth of soil. And we're not talking about soil that's got pebbles in it. We're talking about a bit of soil on top of a rocky ledge. And there's just enough soil for the seed to germinate, but after it springs up, the root can't find any nutriment to sustain growth, and it soon perishes. Many who make a profession of religion are stony ground hearers. The heart has not been humbled under a sense of its guilt. This class may be easily convinced and appear to be bright converts, but they have only a superficial religion. They just have a superficial bit of soil. When life moves smoothly with them, they may appear to be consistent Christians, but they faint beneath the fiery test of temptation. They cannot bear reproach for Christ. When the Word of God points out some cherished sin, they are offended. The gospel appeals to their emotions, and they are quick to react to it, but the impression made by it passes with the emotion. We can look at the example of John Mark as one who found tribulation and trial hard to bear. I think you all remember his story. He accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, but halfway, or not even halfway, he became discouraged and he left them and went home. Yet such a person can make a change. And in fact, we know John Mark did. But one needs to admit that change is needed. One needs to humble oneself. Turn to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, and let's read verse 5. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So we must humbly prove our own selves. We must be like Paul, who knew that within him there was a battle between right and wrong. We must be ready to call sin by its own name, by its right name, even if it's one of our own sins. As we all know, it's easy to see the sins of others, but not one's own sin. Many feel a realization of their bondage to self and sin, but they do not crucify self. They do not seek for divine power to do His will. In a general way, they acknowledge their imperfections, but do not give up particular sins. And with each wrong act, the selfish nature is gaining strength. Trying to serve both self and Christ makes one a stony ground hearer, and he will not endure. We don't find too many wayside seed hearers, maybe that's the word we use, in the church, but probably we do find a lot of stony ground hearers in the church. So we must look at ourselves closely and carefully to see if we fit this description. Now let's go on to the next group of seeds. Matthew 13 and verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The gospel seed often falls among thorns and noxious weeds. And what do we mean by that? Old habits and practices and the former life of sin are not left behind. There is no real transformation in the heart. The attributes of Satan need to be expelled from the soul. Otherwise, the thorns will come to take over the crop and kill out the wheat. The cares of this world. No class is free from the temptations to worldly care. To the poor, toil and deprivation and the fear of want bring perplexities and burdens. To the rich come fear of loss and a multitude of anxious cares. So, everyone has cares of this life. Many of Christ's followers forget the lesson of trust in God. They don't trust Christ to carry their burden. They don't cast it upon Him. Therefore, the cares of life, which should drive them to Christ for comfort and help, are actually separating them from Him. Jesus had a lot to say about how we should care, extend God's care to each of His children. And I'm sure that many of us do this. We should reach out a kind word, a helping hand. By doing this, we can reduce people's cares and give them a chance to hear the voice of God speaking to them. But as we work for others, we also need to pay attention to our own walk with God. For we are told, many who are working with a different purpose fall into a like error. They are working for others' good, their duties are pressing, responsibilities are heavy, and they allow their labor to crowd out devotion. communion with God through prayer and study of the Word is neglected. These are also thorny ground hearers. They walk apart from Christ, and the characteristics of self are revealed. Their service is marred by desire for supremacy and the harsh traits of the unsubdued heart. Here is one of the chief secrets of failure in Christian work. This is why its results are often so meager. So if we neglect to commune with Christ regularly, we will start depending on self, and we'll fall into the pride that led to Lucifer's rebellion. Let's look in at a couple of verses. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And so we are talking about constantly abiding in Christ, making sure that we are keeping close to Him. And let's look also at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. And here Paul is admonishing us, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. And so we need to go on, we need to progress in the Christian life. We need to go on to maturity, or some other versions will say go on to perfection. And this is the remedy for those that are represented by the thorny ground Christians. They are like the person who has been freed from demon possession only to be repossessed by 7 evil spirits. You know, if we can read that, actually that's in Matthew chapter 12, just before the parable of the sower, in fact. I think many of you are familiar with this. Matthew 12:43-45. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So the thorny ground hearer is the one who is attracted by the gospel, but their attention is absorbed by other things. And some of these things that their attention is absorbed by may not be in themselves harmful, but they become so absorbed in it that they have no time to give to Christ. Throughout the parable of the sower, Christ represents the different results of the sowing as depending on the soil. In each case, it's the same sower, the same seed. The only difference is the soil. Now, soil can be bad. We know that. But soil can also be changed. Farmers and gardeners know this. And here I'm going to say something, I need to ask an expert. You see, clay soils can be improved by adding gypsum, right? Okay. Almost got that right. Sandy soil can be improved by adding manure. In the same way, people can't be classified as bad soil and just give up on them. And of course, we ourselves shouldn't think that we are bad soil and just give up. Jesus is teaching that if the Word of God fails of accomplishing its work in our hearts, the reason is to be found in ourselves, but it's not outside our control to change our way. The power of choice is ours, and it rests on us to determine what we can become. The wayside, stony ground, thorny ground hearers need not remain in that way. The Spirit of God is ever seeking to break the spell of infatuation that holds men absorbed in worldly things. But it is by resisting the Spirit that men become neglectful of God's Word. This is an important lesson, that while some soil is good and some bad, no soil is beyond hope. As Jesus did, we must seek new ways to point people to God if old ways do not work. These are lessons for all of us, myself included. These are lessons we all need to heed in our Christian life, because temptation is always around us. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. And so we need to be ready. We need to soften our hearts so that we can receive the message from God. And we can go a little bit further in the Old Testament to the book of Hosea. And look at Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Hosea 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. There is good news in the parable of the sower. The seed that fell into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The Pharisees of Christ's day closed their hearts lest they should see, and their ears lest they should hear. Therefore the truth could not reach their hearts. They were to suffer retribution for their willful ignorance and self-imposed blindness. But Christ taught his disciples that if they opened their minds to instruction, be ready to believe, he would pronounce a blessing upon them, because they saw and heard with eyes and ears that believed. And so what lessons there are for us in these parables, and how important it is for us to have our ears tuned to heed the teachings of Christ. We shall go on next time to go further on in this chapter. And there are more lessons in this chapter on seed and sowing. So, I'm not sure when I'm preaching next, but I'm sure Paul will let me know. And we will carry on. Thank you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for these lessons from the parables. We thank you that each of us has an ability to make a choice to serve you, to become changed from being bad soil to good soil. And we ask that your Spirit may be able to reach us, help us not to turn it away when it speaks to us. For we pray that we will answer your knock at our heart's door. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.